Yeah, we have.
Are we good?
Yes, we're good.
I'll call this meeting to order, 6:33 PM. So, I guess, thank y'all for coming to the meeting tonight. Welcome you gentlemen, we're going to look forward to hearing from you guys in a bit. So, let's open up in a word of prayer. Quentin, would you mind opening us up in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this evening. Father, just thank you for letting us serve in this capacity, this wonderful district, Father. Father, we just lift up everything that we do here, all of our decisions. Father, as we're searching for a new leader for this school, Father, I just pray that you just point him out to us, Father. I know you have the guy picked for us, and Father, just help us to find him. Father, we just trust you in all that we do. We just thank you for all the talented teachers and all of our wonderful kids here at our school. Father, just help us to do everything we can to keep this school a place where they want to be. We just love you so much, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Quentin. Let's take a minute and review the minutes from our previous meeting. We'll need a motion and a second to approve those. We find them true and correct.
Looks right to me.
You make that motion?
Yes, I do.
Jess made the motion. Quentin seconded, all in favor? None opposed? And let's take a minute to review the current bills.
I have a question on Cody King, $496 reimbursed an airline ticket. What was that for?
Remember, I flew back from Houston.
Yeah, I flew back from Houston.
For?
And met with our attorney.
So why did we pay for that?
I just, it was my call, and I just did what I thought was the right thing.
King. Looks like that was kind of a personal decision to me.
What's a March Bear?
That has something to do with internet.
Oh, that's less exciting.
I know, I don't know why.
I was hoping it was something I was going to get to pet.
I don't know why the name is Bear.
Kind of like a koala.
Has to do with our internet.
It's the koala family.
Bummer.
Comes up every month, so I label it with the month.
I guess I'm just...
I see that on there.
Label it with new animal every month, just for fun.
I make a motion that we pay our current bills.
A motion to pay the bills?
A second.
Cody made a second, all in favor? None opposed?
Okay, on the reports, if you look at the very last page of your packet. First is summer hours. We start the summer hours. We work Monday through Thursday. We work 10 hours a day. We take Fridays off. But the only day that we will be off is May the 25th, which is Memorial Day observed. July 4th falls on a Saturday this year, so they don't get that, they get that day off, but... Tentative board meeting dates for June and July. The first round of interviews are going to be May the 19th at 6 and May the 21st at 6. And the final round of interviews and name the lone finalist is going to be May the 26th at 5 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then the board will hire the superintendent on June the 16th. I would like to suggest on our June meeting, it was for June the 8th, moving that to the 16th, so we just have to do one board meeting that month. Is that all right with everybody?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, so we'll move that one to June the 16th. And then after that, your next scheduled one is July the 13th, which I won't be here for that one. So.
A cardboard cutout, will
probably be better looking. So. And then extracurricular events. Most of y'all seen the stuff that me and Miss Thurwanger have sent out on the school messenger. Our milk quality team or state champs will be going to nationals. Our home site, they got fifth in the nation, which I thought was pretty good. Grace Stevens got sixth in state in golf, which is excellent. And then our state track, our boys 4x100, 4x200 are going. I just went blank. Cannon McGee is going in the 100. The girls are going in the 4x100, 4x200, and the 4x400. Right, okay. And that is this weekend in Austin. So I'm very proud of all those kiddos, too. Carter's going to talk to us about the three-point seat belts and buses. This is...
Can I just pull up a chair? I'm not much on standing.
We have to jump through a bunch of hoops for this deal because he's going to talk about it, then we're going to vote about it, then we've got to put it in Sentinel, which is the school safety thing. We have to put it in there. I mean, it's a big...
Well, they're tying our hands to buy new buses, right, is what they're doing. And our fleet's fine. But what I've found with going ahead and looking at refurbishing our current buses is I'm getting a bunch of these lawyer letters that say, we'll sell you the seats, but we won't put them in.
For a lot of
so
money.
Now we're going to be like, you know, there is a company in Oklahoma that'll do it. But all that to say, they're like, if it's not a 2018 or newer, like, don't touch it. Our buses aren't worth anything right now. We've got a fleet of 2012s, 2008, 2018. And we're talking 40 to 50,000 a bus to put 3 points in them.
How much?
40 to 50,000. Plus it's getting them to Oklahoma and back. So my deal is Bluebird won't do it. Thomas won't do it. A to Z Bus Sales that sells vanhools, they won't touch our vanhool. So we're kind of handcuffed to the fact of if they really go through with this all the way, which is going to be determined by how Sentinel, how these replies go, we're going to be buying buses. And the new buses are all $30,000, $40,000 more expensive a piece now, too, because they have seatbelts. Mm-hmm. 47 states don't require it. Nobody orders them brand new with seatbelts. You have to put them in after you get it. So, that being said, you know, there's an option to just squash it, to say we're exempt. That's what a lot of people are doing. Otherwise, we're looking at that vanhool is $1 million to replace with seatbelts. Used ones, everything used has gone through the roof.
And then you can't, I mean, like he says, well, you get somebody to put it in, the seatbelts in there, they won't warranty it or guarantee it. Or
what does the law actually say? I'm just.
So it's going to go into effect in 29, and every vehicle in the fleet, whether it's leased or anything, or we rent it, needs to have 3-point seatbelts. So that's all yellow buses, all activity buses, everything. The only bus we have is our Thomas bus that is like that. So we've got our 5-route buses, which I think we could go down to 4 if it boils down to it and we have to buy buses. think we can kick out one of those, and then our little activity bus, I think, could turn into a van. You know, because why spend $30,000 on an 08 bus that's worth three? Yeah. So these things will still be worth something to somebody, because, like I say, 47 states just said, you know, they just haven't ever passed it. Georgia passed it like Texas did within the 3 years before it happened. It just went away because it was just a mess. All these buses.
Everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Surely everybody's going to be in the same boat, and everyone's going to report the same way, and that's where I think it's going to go. Like, they're going to be like, well, never mind. But these buses were built, like, and these letters say it, like, they're built with the highest safety standards that we got, you know, in 2012. They don't want them altered. So that being said, Van Hool used to do them. It was $150,000 to reinforce the floor because these seats are made to move. You get on a head-on and you hit the seat in front of you, everything moves. Now you strap them in. You don't want that seat to go. So there's just a, it's just a big, everyone's back and forth. Everyone I talk to is like, I don't think that's gonna fly. Like, so, you know, and all that being said, if it is a 2029 thing, if it keeps rolling, I would suggest that we just start moving some buses into the fleet over the next couple of years. Because I just don't think on a $10,000 bus, spending $50,000 to put seatbelts, if we lose an engine on it, now we have a $10,000 bus worth nothing that we're going to spend another $40,000. I mean, new buses are very expensive, but lease returns right now, if you started getting ahead of it, you're looking at $100,000 for a 50,000-mile lease return with seatbelts. So
that already has them in there?
Yes. But we'd have to get ahead on that, and everyone that is getting ahead on that, I'm scared is going to be like, look back and go, we really didn't have to, you know, I don't know. You know, it's going to be a tough deal either way. I want to be prepared either way, and we'll pay attention either way to what's going on, but they're handcuffing us is what they're doing. Like, our fleet's fine for the next 10 years with one or two sprinkled in. Like, we only have one over 100,000 miles. They all have Cummins diesels. Like, they're going to run a long time. So...
Well, some of these bigger schools, they lease out to Durham and places like that, so they don't have to worry about it.
Well, other than their lease is going to go up a lot, because those places are going to be required to have seatbelts in those buses now. It is a 2029 thing. This, what we're voting on, is kind of a preliminary, like, this report to Sentinel, what we feel like we should do, you know. I had to get some cost estimates, quotes on what it would cost to do anything in our fleet. Of course, they're talking about if it would void any warranties. We don't have anything in warranty, so that's not a big deal. But a lot of the new stuff that's coming out, the route buses are going gas anyways to get away from the diff and all the having them warm up and everything else. And if we got to do it, I suggest we get – and we only put 5,000 miles of bus on a year right now. Buy some 50,000-mile lease return gas ones and run them. But – you know, that's just in the stuff that I've looked at. Like, it's to spend $50,000 a bus to get them in, to meet something when 2029 or 2012, it might be bad before we get to 29. You know, if we lose a transmission in one of these, it's going to be cost effective to go buy one.
When they could change it by 29, too.
And if it changes, then every school district that spent money just wouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
So that's what these guys are saying. There's three states, including us right now, that they have to put seatbelts in them for. Like I say, Bluebird will sell us the seats, but they sent us a letter that said, don't put them in. So
on 7A, this action, what are we accomplishing if we approve it, or as opposed to disapproving it?
Well, if you approve, you're just approving a funding exemption so that we don't have to put them in. Because it's going to cost us a lot more.
So
money.
What's going to happen is if we decided that we wanted 3 points in them 100% right now, like we don't want a board exemption, there is going to be some grant stuff, but they haven't reported any of that. Until the Sentinel stuff's all together, they're not going to report any of the grant stuff either. So, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 type thing. But our fleet, like, we're going different buses. I'm not saying new buses. New buses is an option, but we're going different buses. If you're going to spend $50,000 on it, like, just get one that You know, it's, I mean, a 2012 model bus in 2030 is 18 years old.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at a two-year-old bus for 105, you know, in 29, and then you're in 28. Say we got some in 28, and then you're good for 18 years again. So it's just, it's hard to say, like, and a lot of these companies too, they're like, yeah, we'll do it, are really starting to push the brakes on anything older than an 18. So
what does a new bus cost? You said lease.
$160,000 okay. For a new one with seatbelts.
Okay.
A year ago at this time, which is still the case, a new one without seatbelts is $30,000 less.
So $100,000 for a lease or $160,000.
Yeah, these are lease returns. Like, we could lease buses too if that was the answer.
Oh, these are lease returns.
I'm talking a lease return bus that we bought.
No, we're not talking about leasing one.
No, we could talk leasing buses too.
I don't like that idea.
But I like the lease return. I'm not to go buy new stuff and take the $60,000 hit.
I'm following that.
So I'm more like, okay, we're going to have 10 years before it hits 100,000 miles if it's in our route fleet. Maybe 15 years before it hits 100,000 miles if it's a trip bus. So, I mean, at that point, it's like, hey, maybe it was time to turn the fleet over. But like I say, we have anywhere from 70 to 80 something thousand, except for all Miss Dykes has 150, and she likes it because it's small. So, but that just goes to show you they're all the same, and the rest of them will go to 150. So, you know, it's hard. Spending the money on it right now to do the seat belts would be, I mean, you're looking at five of them, 250,000. And at that point, you got 2.5 lease returns that are 2 or 3 years old that are ready to roll. So.
Well, I think what's going to happen once all this gets in the Sentinel, they'll either do one or two things. They'll either do away with it, or they'll grandfather all those buses
that are
in, and then those that you buy from 29 on,
you have to,
will have to have seatbelts
in.
I think that's what's going to happen.
But either way, these companies selling new buses, when they get them, they don't have them. Like, they've got to put the seatbelts in them. These ride buses are still coming to the manufacturer, from the manufacturer without them.
And it's not, I mean, we used to get buses that just had the lap belts, and Terry would take them out because they would just, we kept hitting each other with them and everything, so we didn't take them out.
I mean, we just don't run enough miles. I mean, we're not going to eat any of them up with miles. Like I say, I'm worried that if we spend $50,000 on a bus, that's the time. It's like putting new tires on a four-wheeler. Like, it's not going to run the next day. Like, it's just, you know, I mean, if you start getting to that point, I mean, we got a pretty old fleet, but it's been taken care of. It's been well taken care of, and it's a good fleet. It's just they're kind of handcuffing us now. Like, we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to spend. Now, the van hole is a big deal of it, too, because if we decide we're going to put 3 points in everything, like, we're going to have to do something with that bus. And the only used one that I was sent from ABC had 800,000 miles on it, and they wanted 275,000. And while ours has 225,000 miles on it right now, it's an 08 pre-def, and what did we pay, 80?
80, mm-hmm. No, or 75.
I mean, they're handy. I mean, it's one of those deals. If it holds up and it goes, like, we're going to have to take action on getting stuff, but I think the best, I mean, the only course of action in my eyes is just refreshing the fleet instead of spending the
working on the old ones.
I mean, like I say, ours aren't ate up with miles. They'll last. It's just you start spending that kind of money on what's going to happen. You know,
that van hole you were talking about just then, is what would it cost to put the seat belts in that one?
So,
in particular?
So ABC will not. Their lawyer wrote them a letter, said don't even quote it. We're not touching them. But they used to do it before this law came in, and they were doing just a sprinkle of them. And it was $150,000 because they had to rework the whole floor. If you ordered a bus from 2012 and newer from Van Hool, you could request seat belts in it. When ours was built, there's not. But when they did that, the floor was reinforced differently for those seats to stay where they're at. You know, ours is designed for if you could get in a head on, like, the seats are going to give. That's how you're going to, you know,
absorb it.
So, but the Van Hool's like, if we decide we're going 3 points, like, that one's just going to have to lead the fleet in 29, and something's going to have to replace it.
So the best thing for us to do would be to approve this funding exemption. Mm-hmm. And when we start needing a bus, just look, well, start looking for a lease return.
If it stays, I suggest, like, let's start looking lease return. Now, if it stays, we're going to have to get on that. Like, we can't wait till 29 and try to get lease returns because they're not going to be there. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to stay on top of how this works and how it goes to stay in front of it. Like, it's going to be a continual thing. But, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a mess is what it is. Mm-hmm. Especially when, like, a school like us that stays low mileage, takes care of their stuff, and now you're like, dude, it's an expense that we don't, you know, just because of some laws. Yeah. I mean, that's the other deal is they're like, they were designed that way without them, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where the lawyers are getting involved. Like, hey, you go ahead and modify that. If something happens, now we're the last ones that touch them.
Yeah.
So that's why Bluebird themselves are like, we'll send you the seats. Like, we quote you the seats all day long, but we're not putting them in. So it's kind of, you know, it's one of those deals. The new buses now that are coming without them are set up to where, like, if you were to retrofit it, it's made for that retrofit.
I wonder if you knew, like, I know a guy that, that has spent his whole life refurbishing old cars, vans, buses. I don't know if it'd be worth getting his expertise, knowing his connection to that industry, maybe a smaller mom and pop situation versus a, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're going to want to
take legally, the liability. Yeah, the liability, that's the
if
whole
Bluebird
thing.
If Bluebird doesn't want to take it.
Yeah.
And I could see where they're talking. And I mean, I don't want the school to take the liability.
No,
I don't
want to
order these seatbelts from ABC or, you know, A to Z and then be like, Carter, just throw them in.
Yeah.
And then something happens. Like.
And I don't know why they did it for. I mean, I don't know why they wanted to change it. Because we
hadn't had any bad. Like I say, the big national bus sales places are like, we've been here before with different states, and it very seldom sticks.
Sounds like the government needs to pay for it if they're requiring it, but that's not how it works. Well,
and there is some funding options. They're just not letting us know till the Sentinel report's
done.
Yeah, so if everybody doesn't want to do it, that'd be more money than they're going to want to mess with.
You have any other questions from this?
I know a lot of districts have just been like, we're not, you know, we're not going to mess with it.
Just watch it and see where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing we need to do is wait till 29 if it sticks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because then we're going to be in a bind. But that's what they said. They're going to, if this goes all the way through, what ends up happening is they start checking school by school. They go through your fleet. And they're like, really, people aren't going to get checked till 2031. By the time it's all, you know, you got to start on one. You only have so many people doing it. And so they're like, 2029 is when it's going to be, you know, unless you had an accident, obviously that would quick. But, you know, there's already some seat issues, like back orderage of seats. Some people like trying to get seats but not really order seats, just trying to figure out availability. It's kind of a mess right now. I think it's going to be a lot more clear once the Sentinel report gets through. But like I say, we're looking at, you know, if we just want to change our fleet tomorrow, like I say, with the Van Hool itself, you're looking at like the cheapest one that you can go get. If you want to replace that with a Van Hool, it's $700,000 new. And that's not saying it's not used ones, but who wants an 800,000 mile bus around here too? Like,
So we can do some grant research ahead of time.
What happens if we approve this this exemption or whatnot, and
then we
can we come back?
Seatbelts in?
Can we come back and change your mind or start, you know, upgrade our fleet slowly? Anyways,
yes. This main deal right here was figuring out what it was going to cost to put seatbelts in our current fleet, and that's what it's trying to figure out if school districts are going to go ahead and seatbelt their fleets.
Okay.
So you can even go back. This isn't like we're tied to it. This is a preliminary lot. Try to figure out what the schools are going to do.
Okay.
So, we can go back and put seatbelts in them. Like, if that's the viable option, it's just I'm scared that more and more of these people, like early on when I called, they're like, "Yeah, we'll send you quotes," and then they start getting those letters.
Yeah.
And their lawyers are getting wind. They're like, "Guys, we're not gonna outfit everyone in the state with seatbelts," and then when something happens, like it's going to be because we put the
seatbelt. You're liable for every bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of it's going to be one of those things that's going to get discussed again. I promise you in the Senate, like I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's a great deal to like pay attention to. We got to keep up with, But to just go ahead and start throwing seatbelts in them, I think it'd be a little...
So, and the more of these people that approve the exemption, makes it look like the more that are against putting the...
Well, I don't know if it's even an against the thing.
It's just like, we can't do it right now.
I mean, a lot of the exemption stuff is like, we can't afford to do that to our fleet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and then it gets to the point, not only that, like, I would say we would be able to afford to do it right to our fleet. $250,000 on our route buses. Now, that van hole is a different story, but let's just say we can't afford it. Is that the best thing to do? Like, if you're talking already spend that much money, do you get some newer buses that we're not going to, you know, that were designed that way? Like, at what point is 250 better than 500? Yeah. And all of a sudden, now we're like, well, if we change the whole fleet, now we're at $2 million.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, I just worry about putting, like I said, on 18-year-old buses, throwing $50,000 at them for seatbelts is like, golly. Mm-hmm. If you took bids for it tomorrow, it's not even going to break 10.
Well, and if something ever happened and we retrofitted them and something didn't work right.
Well, yeah, I think it's a lose-lose situation, because what if we don't? What if we don't and something happens? Right. Right. Yeah. On the same side of it. Like, let's say we just roll with it and just run them.
Yeah.
And now if something happens, now we said, no, we didn't want to do it.
Yeah, and it could go both ways.
Yeah, and you've got to just keep watching it and figure out the best way to move forward.
Yeah, and I just don't think spending $50,000 on them old buses. Like I say, like, if this one to come up, like, I honestly would say I wouldn't be talking about a new bus unless something catastrophically happened to one of our five right now. So it kind of sucks, because they're kind of handcuffing it too.
Yeah.
And our one that does have 3 points is the last vehicle that leaves this school. That Thomas, no one wants to drive it. So now we're at, you know, now it's like, well, crap.
Yeah.
Which is just being real. Like, yeah. That's just how, I mean, it's one of those deals. But.
Well, then my suggestion, since there's no real clear solution right now, this funding exemption, and then watch it real close and be ready to buy some lease returns, and so it wouldn't hit us all.
And I think if it's going to stick, and it sounds like it, like, we need to get on the lease returns or decide to put them in a couple of the 70,000 mile ones and get a couple lease returns too, or whatever we decide. We're going to, you know, I just
break it up.
Like, Miss Dyke's bus has 160,000 miles on it. Like, I really don't think that one's one of those that you do that.
Same.
And that little Chevrolet bus, like, we could change it out with a van for, I mean, all of a sudden you're in a 1-year-old Transit for another 20 more thousand or whatever. So it's hard to say on, like, those particular models, but across the board, I just don't think it's feasible. And I'm worried when it comes down to the actual, like, we're bringing you the bus, that we're going to get one of these letters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they're like, oh. And then it's like, we decided to do it. It's kind of a weird,
yeah.
But like I say, ABC has done it in the past. They told me they had, but since this law came in, their lawyers are like, mm-hmm. Don't touch them.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard because it's a school, you know. We want the best for the kids. We want the best for every kid that's on it. Mm-hmm. We want the safest, 100%.
Absolutely.
That's the top priority. If these guys aren't confident in the fact that we're going to retrofit it, like, that doesn't make me feel good either.
Yeah.
Like, I feel better, like, what they're in, than to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's hard, is like, okay, well, I feel safer that they're in what they're in, but they can't be in it. So, I think there's going to be a lot of that feedback, and who knows what's going to happen. They said Georgia tried this, and it just went away completely. They didn't even grandfather anyone in. They just took it out of them.
It went away.
They abolished that deal. So.
Well, thanks for putting all your time mm-hmm. into this to get us all the scoop.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you win for losing on it. So I think to me, if it was my personal thing, it was our, you know, just my family, we'd wait it out and see. Like, I'm not going to modify our stuff and not, you know.
I don't know for sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Either way, if it goes through, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Brandt.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The last thing on the reports is 2026 estimated values.
Wait a minute, do we need a motion?
No, we're not doing that yet. We have to talk about it. That's the way.
Oh, okay.
That's why Sentinel wanted. Do you want? They wanted
to discuss it. Yeah, because we got to send them the minutes. We got to send them the minutes.
It's an opportunity for taking good guess.
Yeah. But do you see our 2026 estimated values? Martin County is down by $703 million.
This was still on.
Dawson is up, which is the first time that probably happened in a while.
Yeah.
About $44 million. Martin County is always usually. They've got a new tax appraiser there. Miss
Graves
is
left.
No longer there. Mm-hmm. It's April
Salazar.
Is that, so I don't know if she, because, you know, Miss Graves always was the, she's always lower than, you know, she was, you know.
Thanks, Carter.
So I don't know how this one's going to be, but me and Miss Berry have a meeting. When is that meeting? June something to
before
do
our
budget.
Next board meeting, but I don't remember when.
I can't remember either. To go over our budget, start working on our budget with the service center.
But this is typical of Martin County.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, because you can't count it twice. You know, after they did it the last year.
May 28th. Is that what you got?
I don't know. I haven't found it yet. I probably put it on my.
Yeah, it's May 28th, which is Thursday, with Holly Johnson to start working on our budget for next year. So she'll get all her information. I've already sent these to Laura DeAnda and Carol Voigt. They've already started working on it for us and everything. So, but, and I want to apologize. I skipped over number 5, opportunity for patrons to address the board. Does anybody... Nobody signed up, so, okay. All right, thank y'all. Okay,